Week 2 of OTAs are underway in Green Bay, and to discuss them and other matters, we bring onto the show Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to find out what happened on the practice field and his recently published article on 11 Packers careers ended by neck injuries. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV and 24/7 Sports. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking OTAs, and to do so, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joining us. Mr. Dunn, how you doing this morning?
Doing great. Doing great. We've had 70 degrees in Green Bay, so I guess you can't complain. Get to watch a little football this time of year.
It's quite a bit different than the frozen tundra time of the year, wouldn't you say?
A little bit. You know, you still see the, gosh, I think I saw some woman in a pink cheese head and an Eddie Lacy jersey with the word diva on that cheese head. So that nothing's really changed in many other regards. It's May, it's June, but my God, I mean, I might as well be training camp or in the middle of a playoff run.
Well, glad you're getting a little good weather because it doesn't last in Green Bay. But Tyler, glad you could join us this morning because I want to pick your brain a little bit about your we're going to get to OTAs in a second here, folks. But first, I want to pick your brain a little bit about your recently published article on several Packers players whose careers have ended by neck injury or spinal injury. And can you just give us a little bit of background on what the details here? Because I think you kind of, you know, that you looked at from such and such date onward and how many careers were ended. And can you, I mean, you didn't talk to every player, but can you tell us who you talked to and provide some of that?
Definitely. So, I guess it's been, 11 since 1986. It's been one after another. Like you said, couldn't get a hold of everybody. A guy like JerMichael Finley, one of the most recent, not a lot of people have heard from him. So you can only imagine the struggle he's kind of going through right now away from the game. But did talk to Jonathan Franklin multiple times, Nick Collins multiple times, Terrence Murphy, the wide receiver, the second pick, by Ted Thompson back in 05. And Johnny Holland, somebody who, early 90s was arguably the best player on the defense and he had to step away from the game right before Green Bay kind of ascended into that Super Bowl favor, that Super Bowl contender. So, I guess the genesis for it was, this is rare. I don't know. I looked around the league. I couldn't get the hardcore numbers, but there isn't any other team that's dealt with this many career-ending spinal-related injuries, and it's just different. I mean, a lot of guys struggle with life after football. I mean, we read these stories all the time on player A, just who can't move on, who can't retire, get into another profession. But a lot of these players, I mean, they choose to walk away. I mean, they have a press conference. They sign their paperwork, and that's that. Where these guys didn't have that choice. I mean, Terrence Murphy, I mean, he might have been Greg Jennings. He might have been James Jones, Randall Cobb. Instead, he played two games. Jonathan Franklin, similar deal. I mean, he never really had a chance to emerge as a pro, and other players like Nick Collins, I mean, maybe he becomes a Hall of Famer. Instead, his career ends in Carolina. So it's just a very different type of trauma. I mean, the trauma in your head that ends your career, but the trauma off the field to somehow find something that you can do and move on. It's very real, and you can just hear it in their voice and feel it on how difficult it was in different ways for each player.
And pardon me, folks, by the way, this is a very fantastic article. Tyler, you did a great job with this. It was a great piece of research and a fantastically written article. One of the best I've ever written by yourself or read by yourself.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. I do want to ask you this. Do you sense a common theme here at all? Because I kind of see it maybe a little bit, but you talk to these guys. Do you sense a theme of depression setting in to many of these players when they step away from the game?
Oh, totally. I mean, this is, I thought Collins put it best, that most players, this is all they've ever known. I mean, yeah, you go to college and you get a degree, study something. But it's all football. I mean, it's all sports all the time for most players in the league. So you take that away, unless you're prepared for life after it, and unless you have a plan and did the work in school or have some other interest, it's going to be a struggle. I mean, it's inherently a part of you. You just don't get your fix anymore when the game is gone. And that's kind of why Nick Collins said he'd wake up in the morning and go down to the basement, shut the door, ignore family, ignore friends, stay alone in his thoughts. And it took him a very, very long time to snap out of that. And, you know, as I wrote, his son had to say something to his teacher at school, and the teacher had to phone home before it kind of hit him. Oh, my God, I got to get out of this. I got to be a good dad. So, yeah, I mean, I just think that I don't know what the solution is. You know, I mean, there's so many of these players early on at the middle school level, the high school level, that become one-dimensional and chase a dream. And that's great. I mean, everybody wants a dream to chase. But at the end of the day, I mean, you need strong parents. You need strong mentors, somebody telling you to get ready for life after football, because, you know, it's not going to last forever. Even the great ones, it doesn't last forever. And as Terrence Murphy said, I guess, and he said, look, I'd love to speak at the rookie symposium and share my story. I mean, all these guys, they hear from, you know, players who were involved with drugs or been arrested or how to deal with money, all good things, but not really about, you know, running a business or really about adjusting to some other interest outside of football afterward that he thinks is really important.
I think this is appropriate because just yesterday, I think an article was published over at MMQB, the Sports Illustrated site over there, Peter King's website, by Emily Kaplan, an article titled "My Big Fat NFL Career," kind of a play on words there, but an article about former San Diego Chargers center Nick Hardwick, and kind of a different situation, adjusting to post. You know, life after football. He was a big offensive lineman, and to him, his career didn't end by a neck injury. He actually was one that stepped away from the game, but his life changed, and he went into a depression kind of after the game, as he was forced to lose weight and get back to his normal self. And I guess where I'm going with this, Tyler, is, does the NFL have to do more for these players to prepare them for their post-playing career, you know, whether it's injury or just even if they do walk away on their own terms? I mean, it seems like they're not prepared for it no matter how their career ends.
Gosh, I guess the good news is it does seem like maybe teams are doing a little bit more. You know, they employ like Rob Davis here, the former long snapper. I mean, he works directly with the players off the field, helps them adjust to life, and deals with a lot of non-football stuff. I mean, so a person like that that you employ, I mean, that can help kind of snap players back to reality and inform them that there is life after the game, and you got to be ready for it. But I don't know. I don't know what else that we can do. I mean, beyond that, too, was something they are liable for, and I guess we're kind of seeing lawsuits pop up here and there, is something like addiction to pain meds. And you see that a lot, where maybe through the 90s, a lot of teams were kind of fueling players with different types of pain medications, keeping them on the field through injuries. You know, Craig Newsome, one of those players that I talked to a couple years ago about this, and after he left the game, was addicted to certain pain medications and would forge prescriptions, and it was in a really, really dark place himself. That's the kind of thing that, yeah, I mean, the NFL should be liable for, and it has to fix. And I would think that it has to a degree. I guess to answer your question, I don't know if there is one broad stroke, solution to all of this. It's a game that everybody loves. the game all these players love. They want to ride it out. I mean, that's why you see so many players in so many obscure, you know, semi-pro arena leagues around the country just hanging on to hope. It's a love for the game, and it's going to be a dream that they're going to all want to chase, and it's hard to adjust afterward.
For those listening to the show, I asked Tyler before he came on to kind of read this article on my big fat NFL career at MMQB, and then I asked him to take a peek at another one, not actually NFL related, a blog post. It's gone viral on the internet. Perhaps you've seen it. It's written by a teacher about Golden State Warriors guard Stephen Curry. And you know, big star who's in the NBA finals here. And the teacher said he doesn't want Steve. Is it Stephen? Steven? I'm not even sure.
Yes.
Anyway, he doesn't want Curry to come to his school to talk to students because he knows that Curry will be a very engaging personality and tell them to shoot for the stars and reach for the stars. And this teacher believes that the kids shouldn't be sent this message that they can make it and they can do it because so few actually do. And I think this kind of ties into what you're writing about, Tyler, this you know, this attitude of depression here, this common theme, I guess. Is there a larger societal issue here at fault? Do kids go into, you know, these pro careers thinking that the fame and the money is going to last forever? And when it's done, when their career comes to a close, are they not ready for it? I'm kind of taking a circuitous route here to this question, but is there a larger societal issue here?
You know, maybe there is. I don't know. I guess I didn't take any sociology classes or anything like this in college that would open my eyes to something like that, but I totally see what you mean. In general, I just think that in 2015, whether it's you know, AAU basketball, you know, for a lot of basketball players, or, you know, guys coming up through the football ranks that are getting recruited by college coaches when they're 12 or 13 years old. I mean, a lot of these players are told how great they are at a very, very young age, and they're told that again and again and again. They're coddled again and again and again. And many of them will go on to earn Division I scholarships and will go on to maybe play professionally. But, I mean, it's just, in general, probably important to have a dad, a mom, a mentor, the people in these kids' lives that say, look, I mean, you could be a functioning, great member of society in this profession or that profession, unsports related professions. And you want to chase a dream. That's great. I mean, play a sport, love it, dive yourself into it. I think both of us probably did back when we were in high school. But at the end of the day, you just need a reality check. Mm-hmm. And there's other ways you can contribute to society. You got to put that on the parents and the adults in these kids' lives.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes if kids get too wrapped up in making it and you know, putting their education and studies on the back burner. Tyler, I've already talked to you for like 15 minutes here. Do you have a few minutes to talk about OTAs and what actually happened on the field?
Oh, definitely, as much as you want.
Very good, very good. So, second round of OTAs yesterday taking place in Green Bay. I think one of the big storylines was Julius Peppers coming back. He missed the first week. Does he look healthy out there? And is Julius Peppers at 35 years old still going to be effective this season?
Well, you know, he did return, and from what we saw, it was a pretty breezy practice for the veterans. I mean, it's not anything like a training camp practice. You know, the pads obviously aren't on, and the intensity level isn't quite ramped up drill to drill. So, you know, watching Peppers, I guess he didn't do a ton. You know, hey, these guys get workout bonuses in their contracts to be here, and, hey, I'm sure they're happy he's there. To answer your question, it remains to be seen. I think he really defied all the odds last year. 11 turnovers, team high, 43.5 pressures, the best on the team. They're going to expect the same type of deal. And even at, 6'7", 287, he can still be such an overwhelming athlete for any offensive tackle. It sounds like he kept his body in shape again this offseason. He says he's kind of been monitoring his reps and how much he really does to be fresh. He knows his body as well as anybody, and they're going to need him because Clay Matthews is going to play inside linebacker to some degree again, which means you're going to need Peppers on the edge getting a good pass rush going.
Also yesterday, first-round draft pick Demarius Randall takes part in a full practice with no limitations for the first time after, you know, sitting out rookie minicamp. Last week he was limited to just individual drills. Yesterday's doing everything 11 on 11. How's he look out there for the first time going full go?
Yeah, there was, it's definitely early on, and he's got a little bit of catching up to do. Quentin Rollins has looked so good through rookie camp and so smooth there at inside corner. They've been working Randall a lot at outside corner. I think in their 11-on-11 work, he was up at the right outside cornerback position. There was a play, Larry Pinker, the undrafted receiver, kind of burnt him on a route, and it would have been a 35-yard touchdown, but he just totally dropped it. So, you know, it's OTAs, it's early, but not a great moment for Randall. But you see up close that instruction he's getting with Joe Witt. I mean, he's such a hands-on coach. There was one point where he was just a simple backpedaling drill around some cones, and it looked fine to the naked, untrained eye, but Witt saw something, made him do it again, stayed lower, turned his hips a little quicker. So this is all the kind of stuff I think Witt's talking about, and that he's got his work cut out for him. He's got a former baseball player, a former basketball player, and he's got to get them up to speed because he's probably going to need both at some point this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit of a transition here. Everybody thinks a first-round draft pick is going to come in and play right away. It's going to take a while for a former safety to learn cornerback, I think, for the Packers. But also yesterday, Brett Hundley, seeing him in action for the first time, his first practice as a professional in a public setting. He missed last week at the NFLPA rookie premiere. I had heard that Brett Hundley threw an interception, his very first pass in team drills. Is this a good time to remind people not to overreact to the, I mean, it's about the worst way to start, but I suppose it could only get better from here.
That's true. Yeah. I think it was, Gene Fanor, the old Haiti native at safety that stepped in front of the pass and picked it up and probably would have taken it to the house. So yeah, it's OTAs, and my gosh, he's going to have a lot of those growing pains because, as much as we talk about how difficult it is to play receiver in this offense, safety, and the quarterback, you have to know everything. And by the way, he's going to be taking snaps under center for the first time, and he's going to be changing his footwork, his ball placement, all that stuff. So they know what they have. It's a project, a raw project. It's going to take some time. If it does all get put together, I mean, the speed, the size, you can just see it. I mean, it's on a different level than Scott Tolzien. But right now, Tolzien is the one that knows the offense so much better. And mm-hmm. It would seem to be, at least here, June 3rd, the number two quarterback. But a lot of time still left, a lot of time to go. I think they'll take this situation over Vince Young, DJ Coleman, and Graham Harrell.
Yeah, I think they're in better shape now than they were back then. Also yesterday, a longtime veteran fullback, John Kuhn, is gone. He's attending the NFL broadcast boot camp. Did it appear as if the rookie, Aaron Ripkowski, had a larger workload with Kuhn being gone?
Yeah, he did. Took a lot of reps at fullback. And, yeah, this is a team that still uses a fullback, unlike others. And they're forming an offense in different ways. He caught a few passes out of the backfield, which is something he didn't do a lot at Oklahoma, but told us right away that he can do. He believes he has really good hands. So I'm sure Green Bay like to see that. And it's going to be one of those battles in training camp to watch. I mean, they did re-sign Kuhn, and they know what they have. But getting up there in age, Ripkowski at least passes the eye test. I mean, he is a big, thick, strong dude that you have to think Sam Gash, the running backs coach, just loves. I mean, he's kind of built like Gash was when he was a lead blocker back with New England and Buffalo. So I think Ripkowski is, it says a lot that they trapped a fullback and they plan on using him. Will they carry two fullbacks? Could he be on the practice squad? I mean, that stuff all have to work out, and we'll have a lot of fodder during training camp with that. But early on, you have to just like the size of the guy.
Last question here before we let you go, Tyler. We talked a lot early about your feature article published on the neck injuries to players, but the one you published yesterday was about the first and second round draft picks for the Packers last year in 2014, and kind of how they're going into 2015 now, going into their second year in pro football. How are HaHa Clinton Dix and Davante Adams looking?
Yeah, so the one period, I guess, the best period to watch as an observer yesterday was the two-minute drill. And it ended with that Jeff Janis touchdown, like I'm sure you know. But before that, I mean, Rodgers was just looking at Davante Adams again and again and again for completions. You know, he's just such a great route runner, so smooth. He can stop on a dime, something you saw early on. But now, you know, he has that ability in addition to kind of knowing where in the heck he has to go and what Rodgers sees, what he sees. He just, you know, talking to him, he just sounds like an extremely confident guy. That he's just in such a place of comfort that he wasn't in last year. You can really just hear it in his voice. And same thing with Clinton Dix. I mean, this time last year, Micah Hyde was the starting safety. He was trying to learn a new defense that really doesn't allow you to just freelance and do whatever you want. But if you do know where you have to go, I mean, you can play a little more freely and send the audibles in and take a chance here and there. It just, at their word, a lot more comfortable. And these are two players. They got some motivation. I mean, both players in that Seattle game had some pretty critical errors, whether it was the Clinton Dix two-point play when he just kind of got stuck in mud. And the one people forget about with Adams early on in that game, you know, Randall Cobb probably walks in for a touchdown on third and goal. Mm-hmm. If Adams just crashes down a little harder, get some contact with Earl Thomas. So, you know, there's motivation in both of those guys, and they're going to play huge roles this year, Green Bay would hope, I think.
I think they will. Tyler, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate the insight you've given to us into these articles you've written and Packers OTAs. Thanks a lot, and take care, man.
Hey, you got it, Brian. Thanks so much for having me on. Hope all is well.
All right, yes, very good. Thanks a lot. Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. And we'll continue on with
Packers news of the day.
Yesterday at Packers OTAs, I mean, we touched a lot of the storylines already with Tyler Dunn, so I don't want to get into that too much. What I may remind you of is an article I myself published at 24/7 Sports, kind of getting the reaction from Packers players to the return of Adrian Peterson to the Minnesota Vikings. So getting their take on a division rival, had gotten some of those sound bites from the Packers official website and wanted to share them with our audience at 24/7 Sports. So make sure to check out the article there. You know, despite Adrian Peterson being out of football for the past year, I know BJ Raji, for one, kind of talked about how, you know, still got to respect him. You know, thinks he's the best running back of his generation. So that happened yesterday right across the border in Minnesota with Adrian Peterson after, you know, basically threatening to stay away from OTAs, caves in and heads to Minnesota Vikings headquarters to join the rest of the team on Tuesday. So we kind of stay tuned to what's going to happen there if things sail smoothly in Minnesota. Hasn't gone that way for much of the offseason, but it's interesting. You know, it sounds like he wants a trade, which the Packers would therefore not see him perhaps, or at least wouldn't see him twice a year as they do now. And how much, you know, Adrian Peterson really has left in the tank, whether he plays for the Vikings or not, will be interesting to see. But shared that article at 24/7 Sports. You don't just go to our Packers homepage, and you don't have to scroll down very far to find it. But we wrap up the show with
the day ahead.
Today on Wednesday, the Green Bay Packers continue practice on Wednesday, but it takes place behind closed doors. There's nothing open to the public. There is no media access, so don't go there if you were thinking about doing so. actually practice taking place both Wednesday and Thursday. So unfortunately, though, we will be learning very little about what's happening the next day or two. Going to have to wait till next week. I believe next Wednesday, 1 week from today, is the next open practice. So going to have to wait about a week here before we get some on-the-field news, or new on-the-field news about the Green Bay Packers, at least. So, but the one kind of one Packers-related event happening today, and it just happened here at the start of the show, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Tickets going on sale for the Brett Favre Legends game that's taking place this summer at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin. July 19th is the date. That's a Sunday. This has been announced before, but tickets did not go on sale until today. So if you're interested in seeing Brett Favre again, this is the day after he's inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame, the day after his number is retired. He's going to, you know, give it kind of one last go around in front of fans in Madison, teaming up with some of his former teammates, taking on a team comprised of former opponents led by Donovan McNabb. I know John Randall will be on the team, Ron Dayne. So should be a fun time if you're interested. Once again, I provided all the details in our Packers calendar post at 24/7 Sports. Just head there to find out, you know, that you could buy tickets online or the phone. You could actually go to the ticket office in person. There's all sorts of ways you can do it. I laid them all out in the article, so just got to click a few links if you're interested in learning more. So that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers today. Tonight, I suppose that we don't even have to wait until tonight. Could go this evening or this afternoon to a matinee. But the Entourage movie is released in theaters nationwide today, and Green Bay Packers linebacker Clay Matthews has a cameo role in Entourage. So if you didn't get your Packers fix with Pitch Perfect 2 and Clay Matthews, there's another opportunity here to do so. Apparently, the role in Pitch Perfect 2 was a little bit bigger, where it was Matthews and, you know, several of the Packers offensive linemen, Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, David Bakhtiari, Don Barclay. It's just Clay Matthews in Entourage, and apparently the role is rather small, but you'll see him on there, apparently along with several other NFL players like Rob Gronkowski makes a cameo, Russell Wilson makes a cameo, so should be kind of cool if you're into that sort of thing. So starting Wednesday, Entourage in theaters nationwide. You'll have to check your local listings for show times. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Tyler Dunn joining us to talk a little football today. We're glad you could listen in. We'll be back again on Friday. Same time, same place, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and viewed on demand as soon as it's over. So every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. We'll see you later, folks. My call to action, please, a little bit different here. If you like today's show, please reach out to Tyler Dunn and thank him for coming on the show on Twitter, on email, whatever. Tell him he thought he did a great job. You know, like I said, that we don't get paid for this podcast necessarily, or, you know, we're not paying Tyler Dunn to come on the show. But I think it's sometimes nice to just to show our appreciation for taking the time to join us for the better part of a half hour and talk some Packers football. So by all means, please reach out to Tyler Dunn. Thank him for coming on the show. Tell him he did a great job, because he really did, and I think he did. But thank you, the listener, for joining us as well. We'll see you later, folks. I leave it today with a song called Colliding by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, one. Go, Pack, go.